This is new reel, cookie one. This is new reel, cookie one. This is channel one right. This is channel one right. The beginning of channel one right on the new reel, cookie one. This is channel one right. Channel one right on the new reel, cookie one. That's Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. Monday night, we had this remarkable session, just happened to get started on this subject, and no tape around. And then Tuesday morning, we tried to recapture it. And we made several false starts and finally just went ahead from where we were. We couldn't recapture that start we had on Monday night, so we just went ahead from where we were, so it doesn't start from anywhere. Cook had fixed my tractor, and then I'd taken it out that day, and the thing had stopped out in the back pasture, and it just stayed there. And that's what Faye's talking about now.
And you couldn't get it started. So you said, when you go in town, call Cookie and tell him the tractor's in the back pasture. And I call Cookie. And I said, when are you coming out? Cookie said, well, I might come out this weekend. And I said, well, you know that old tractor's in the back pasture, and we can't get it started. And that's all I said. Well, that weekend, Cookie came out. And he went out there, and with one little flip.
I was out there.
Yeah, you were out there.
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, you pulled it. But he started the tractor.
Yes. He not only started the tractor, he made it Cadillac.
I know, it purred like a kitten.
That thing had been so you had to struggle with it.
That's right.
I mean, it was a mental problem in my mind when I ever went out there to start it.
Right.
I'd push on the thing with full of doubt that nothing was going to happen. Not even if the starter was going to turn over. Cookie said to say one
thing. Now, wait, that was the best. Go ahead.
Got a sort of heavy hand, hadn't
it? And they brought they pulled the thing up here, and it was guys, and it started. It was guys' time to start it, and I can see him now. He went over there to the tractor, took this hand, pushed it down. The thing didn't do a thing, and Cookie didn't offer to go do anything.
No.
He was very quiet. He wasn't going to be the king. He wasn't going to take over. But I remember looking at him. He didn't even look disgusted. And Guy tried it again and sort of then walked off. And Guy said, well, it's all yours, I guess. Cookie went over there.
It is one finger.
One finger. It was literally one finger. And he put his thing on that and turned it off.
It was a middle finger.
Middle finger. It was the middle finger. And he came off and that thing.
Used the thumb too.
And that thing started just like that. And Cookie didn't say, I told you so.
Now, he didn't put the gasoline way on up there.
No.
And choke it.
No.
He just barely gave it gas.
Yeah.
And so that when it just started that purring.
That's right.
Purring. First time that thing's purred since I bought it.
That's right.
Well, it didn't purr when I bought it. But,
but anyway, then that's when Cookie said, and he didn't say it to Guy. And Guy said, well, I'll be darned. And a little later, Cookie said to me, or maybe, I think he said to both of us right there, you know, it's a light touch that does it. And later he said, I said, does Guy have a heavy hand with that? He wouldn't say Guy has a heavy hand. He wasn't going to talk you down. He wasn't going to, you know, do anything to make you sound look ridiculous.
So he didn't say
it? No. I said, does Guy have a heavy hand? And this is the charm of it. He said, it takes a little light touch. A little touch. And I said, like, you know, we always talk about hands on the bridle of a horse. The way you ride a horse, it's the hand, not the seat, it's the hand. And he said, you know, like you ride a horse, it's the hands. I said, Cookie, I believe it's just knowing when to let it up. And he said, it's the light touch. And then Guy, he sort of took me off in a corner and he said, now, Guy thinks that tractor's no good. He said, I can make that tractor go. He said, I can make it any number of crops out here with that tractor. He said, of course, the difference is I'll bring my tools along, and when that tractor stops, I'll have my tools, and I'll get out and fix it. And he said, and Guy can't do that. But you see how generous he was? Guy can't do it. In other words, he knows something else, but I know this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great big old debt. That was a real debt.
Now, the wrong thing to say was, all right, Cookie, come on and make a crop.
Yeah. No, you couldn't say, come on and make a crop.
Well,
it had to be his idea.
He left the door open for it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm lost in this because I don't understand what you're trying to say in your first thing there. Is it that you, in other words, you can't allow him to keep doing these little things for you? Is this what you're trying to say? Because some of these days he's going to add it up and want payment for it.
Well,
how did this start?
No, we didn't have got to the plumb. Well, yeah, you know. I think the thing we have to face and the thing we were coming to out there is we've got to recognize that though he wants to help everybody, he's still at heart a traitor.
Yeah.
And that when he does these things, then if he wants a little something, and the first time this came, came to my mind was, he said one day, I just got to do something about Nellie. That was his old gray horse that was like Hughie. And I said, well, what's the matter with her? I said, well, the other horse is running and she won't eat. And he looked out over these pastures and he said, he didn't say it that day, Guy. He just brought it up. I've got to do something about Nellie. And every once in a while when I talked to him down at Brazenton, so he'd come out here, he'd say, I've been a-thinking. And I didn't, and he wouldn't say what he'd been a-thinking about. But then about a week later, he said, with you guys' permission, and this is the way he said it, I think I'll bring two of the horses over here. All right, look at all the things he'd done for us. He's got a truck and carried the bulls to the market, and he fixed all these things, and he felt that he was safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
He'd done enough things for us that he could ask something in return. And we had all this pasture, and I don't blame him. And he needed some pasture. With you guys' permission, I'll bring the horses over here. And I remember I said, well, now you be sure they've had encephalitis shots. Oh, says he, yes, I never fail that, because most horse people like Cookie don't follow those. And
I'm
then
not
of course,
sure.
I'm not sure either. I'm going to see that if he brings the horses over here, that we give them shots here on the place, because you can't take a chance on that. See, they never vaccine a dog or anything else like that. And then it occurred to both Guy and me at the present time that we didn't have a pasture. Freddie had the front pasture. Pappy had to be kept in this pasture. The four or five bulls had to be over here, and the heifers over here. There wasn't a pasture for the horses. But we had to be very tactful in this.
Well, he was going to run the water out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One day he sat out.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
And he figured, well, he just pick it up and he'd run that water out there.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So you see, we couldn't just say, well, now, Cookie, it won't work right now. So, but later on it will. So we said, as soon as we get through with the bulls, get the bulls sold, we'll have the vacant pasture.
See, over that, he's got a little land over that Hawthorn, but it's sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a thing.
Uh-huh.
Just light sand.
Uh-huh. But it was interesting, real interesting, and it's not any criticism on Cookie, because it works both ways. He had to be sure that we needed him
mm-hmm.
enough
mm-hmm.
that he could ask
mm-hmm.
for something. And every time he brings anything up out here, he'll say, my kids need this, and they need to be out, and they need to work, and they need to be out here, and it'll help us, and it'll help you guys too, because they can clean up the pasture. And he always makes a little balance. It'll help us, and it'll help you guys too. And now, but he wouldn't ask, and they've done more than on their side of the balance than we've done. They come over here and do that sort of thing. But that was the first time that I'd ever really looked at this business of having enough on his side of the balance sheet to be able to ask for something on the other side.
He had fixed your taillight too.
Oh, he'd done everything. And it was all right. So I talked with him on the telephone, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, we think it's a better thing, and he was very tactful about this, to let Nellie go to a friend of ours over here. You see, the point was, he hadn't thought it through, because if he'd brought Nellie over here, Nellie would have had to have been fed. And Cookie wasn't about to come out here every afternoon and feed that horse.
And so I was trying to get out of feeding instead of taking on more.
Who was going to feed the horse? Now, he thought he was going to come out every day, but that's a long trip. And he couldn't do it, and we knew it. We, you know, he wasn't realistic about it. And I told him, I said, now, Cookie, I can't feed another horse. Well, I had to say it that way. He said, well, now, you don't ever need to worry about that. I'll be here every day. But it wasn't possible for him to be here every day.
Well, how does it feel? Now you see somebody come out here and look and say, all of this grass and all these pastures, we just put a horse out there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not that simple.
And Guy, don't you know, we had to go back to the experience of Sally and Sue. They'd look out here at these pastures, and they were paying $10 a month for just something that wasn't even a pasture. And they said, could we bring these horses over here? And we said, yes. And they said, well, we'll bring the salt, and we'll bring all the feed and everything.
They never even brought
a block of salt.
Never got a block of salt out there.
So you see, you have to protect yourself without unbalancing the thing. So before this, we had given.
Well, they just need a groom, that's all. Sally and Sue,
yeah,
James,
yeah,
they,
yeah,
were good while,
oh,
they,
yeah,
were here.
Yeah.
Except they talk one day.
Well, and when Guy gave the Plymouth to Cookie, we wanted to get it out. We decided, when you were here, don't you remember you said, well, it wasn't worse. You didn't think that the keeping it around, I had to keep insurance on it and a tag and everything. And Guy said to Cookie, just, I thought facetiously, well, just go ahead and take that car. We'd be glad to get rid of it. Well, by George, one day when we weren't here, he came over and got it. And there was a battery in it we were going to take out. It was a good battery, and we needed that battery for the tractor.
I just want to swap batteries.
And, Cookie had batteries over there. You know. Well, he came over and got the car. Because it was fine. We didn't object. Well, that was all right. But I said, now, Cookie, you've got the car, and I don't want the title to it. Because he was just going to let me keep the title.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
I kept the insurance and I kept the title. And so Cookie wasn't about to suggest that he have the title. He was just going to drive the car because he didn't need the title. He didn't want the title right then. And he was the right hack. You could see it. When I called JJ, we went down, and JJ notarized it for me, and I went out and got Cookie, and he found himself with a title. And he found himself that he had to go down and get it through the safety lane. And if there's any insurance on it, it's his problem.
Mm-hmm.
And JJ gave him a little lecture when I was down there. He said, now, Cookie, you take this and take it right on down to the courthouse right now. Because Ms. Miles is no longer responsible for this thing. And if in the meantime something happens, it'd be hard on you.
You know, Cookie can't quite get out of he's not liable. He got nothing. Nobody's going to put his children in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a little property, and you know, mm-hmm. it makes a vast difference.
So that was one of the little...
Well, it's hard to...
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a different
make that
world.
Step, that's something.
Yeah.
That's right.
But JJ and I were very business, and Cookie knew all the angles. And you know what he did? He took that Plymouth right down there to that through that safety lane. It passed just like a new car.
Best car.
They brought that car over here, like, and drove it up out there. And you know, when he took it over there, the gears would jump like this, you know. And the
Hey, you made a mistake. You could just let Cookie be your mechanic.
Well, if I could just get Cookie with the car.
That's right. He just rolled right out there. I said, Cookie, start up a little bit. Let's see how the gear comes. He started up just as smooth. I said, what in the world to do with the gear? Well, he says, I just put it up against the tree and pushed and got all that grease off those plates.
Oh, Lord, that's right.
I never, who would have known that?
Well, except Cookie.
A real good mechanic. Cookie. Well, he had to be a real good mechanic to know that.
And let me tell you something.
The ordinary garage mechanic wouldn't know that.
And he knows that. He knows that.
It's one of his little trading phones.
Yeah.
On
I just hold up a little bit and let someone else pop.
I got an idea, guys. Let me
tell you. Buster has tried to keep that little Plymouth going. He never did it. He'd worked on that clutch 2 or 3 times. And I said to him last time I saw him, Buster, that clutch is acting up. And he looked the other way and talked about something else.
Well,
that's the first time I used to fool with cars a little bit, and not any mechanic, but I did fool with them a little bit. That's the first time in all my lifetime I've ever heard about tree and get rid of that grease.
Just wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, that's a new deal. And I've seen a lot of good mechanics. I never heard them even talk about a thing like that.
That's one of Papa's little practical things that he just figured it out in his mind. Probably nobody told him that.
Yeah.
No. And when Cookie came driving up in that, I can see him now. When he came driving up in that Plymouth with all of his family.
Yeah.
And I saw him coming up the lane in that thing. He was sitting there right back, exactly like Johnny on that horse.
With a cigar.
This was a prideful thing. And he came up and he said, well, how do you like your car?
Well, he drove it over on purpose.
Yeah, he did. He did. This was something.
Close the door, ma'am. That
was
a little step.
Well, I thought it was a little step on me. I didn't know.
This was Guy and Frank were out pulling weeds and everything, and a lot of poison ivy. And Guy said, Frank, you'd better come in here and wash off.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get covered up with poison ivy.
We were cutting off those saplings that had grown up over there, off those trees we cut out. You know, the gum, well, that's oak. You know, I thought it just loved growth there. Why, some of those things is that big around. And it's just all around the stumps. That's where we got into it.
Yeah. And so Guy said, you better wash off with Clorox. And I was fussing around. Well, you better come in here, and I better give you a lot of Clorox to wash off with. Cookie didn't say one word.
He was walking around.
And finally, I saw him way over there by the Flycord's trailer. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? And he came up with a handful of pokeberry leaves. And he gave them to Frank, and he, in that quiet way, he said, just rub yourself off of these. You won't need to take a bath. It'd be better if it were nightshade leaves, but this will do the work. And Helen said, well, I was wondering what sort of leaf you were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any point in
mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, so this is
I
amazing.
I took a shower, and I didn't get any
it would be real interesting to somebody to get an IQ on that man. He's smart.
This is
he's smart.
Oh,
but this is a gleaning from a long, long time. I bet you'll find a lot of natives that know this.
I know, but you have to have a memory to retain it.
Well,
that's right.
That's where the difference is.
Yeah. Oh, natives give them their intelligence, Francis.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
Well, you have to make do. You have to learn to make do before the days of Clorox. What did you do for the poison ivy? I mean,
you
know this.
So
but
that still make do after the days of Clorox.
Well, who's going to keep a bottle of Clorox out of the farm?
You see the boy later on, he didn't hit that.
He just got the flu.
Oh, dear. But.
Oh, he's gifted.
Yeah. And he's really got a lot of things you need around
but
here.
But it's
he needs this place.
The way Faye brought it up, Francis, last night was, it'll be easy to destroy it.
mm-hmm.
Now, And I've had several people try to work with, and it comes to nothing. And I never knew what happened. And the first light I ever had on it was last summer when Faye was working with Johnny, summer before last. And you know, her instinct. And she just could see certain things that Johnny wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't groom a horse.
Mm-hmm.
He could see me out there, broke down an old tractor, and he'd go out there and talk to me, but he wouldn't take hold.
Mm-hmm.
He was not going to work on machinery.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the thing of it is, you see, everywhere he goes, they say, well, there's Johnny, he can groom the horse, and there's he'd give him a job taking care of machinery, and that's a dead end, and he just don't want to face that everywhere he goes. Well, see, Johnny played out. now, we had, when Faye was talking, you see, we had just faced this thing over the weekend. Cookie said he had found, you know, there's always that element of taunt. here's a hurdle, and I made it. I haven't found a name for that. That's so strong. I noticed it in some of the tapes.
Now the taunt is this which he can. This is his little trade.
Yeah.
This is what he's got.
Yeah.
His ace in the hole.
Yes. Yeah, these other fellas couldn't do it, but I come along and they asked me,
uh-huh.
and I done it for.
Uh-huh.
That's the tone.
Uh-huh. This is his bag.
Right,
mm-hmm.
His bag. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, some of your close relatives have had that. I mean, that's very strong in some of them. But see, I never understood it. I never understood what it was. It's not a big eye business.
Mm-mm.
It's not that. No. It's really not
mm-hmm.
that.
No,
I don't know what it is.
Well, it's a confidence along with an ability.
Well, in a way, it's a public face.
Mm-hmm.
They're public. Like Thoreau goes to Walden, but he actually goes to Walden where he can crow, if for no other reason, to wake up his neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't retire, withdraw at all. He still has that public, it's a public life that he leads. Well.
But this is the face you've got to save.
Yes.
And most of our things break down because somebody allows somebody else to lose face.
This is what we faced the other day. We've got to keep Cookie's tongue.
But yeah,
if he's going to work with us.
Well, I wouldn't let it rest in any particular time.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Over the weekend, Cookie said, called up, and he says, I found a fertilized spreader. And he says, I think I'll just go over there and buy it and pay for it. And then he said he thought he found a tractor. He told me what sort it was. Well, I said, Cookie, are you going over there and buy that one and pay for it? I'm just talking, you know. That was the conversation. Well, I said, if you want to bring it over here, I'll get some fertilizer. Well, you know what happened. I got the fertilizer. It's still sitting out there on the truck. And Cookie didn't even get over here. And it turned out that he hadn't bought that fertilizer spread and paid for it. Because when I said I might go over and have him haul it or bring it, you know. He said, well, or might go by there himself. He said, well, the man's sort of peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
So,
shut the door.
So, now, you say you don't want to complicate things.
You say
you don't want to make a big to-do about it in your mind. It's not in your mind. It's
the reality.
Yeah.
And how far can you depend on this? Because you're honest in what you thought. You judged him to bring it, and you were ready. But you can't work with him this way. because he may or may not, and if he does, you've got it. If he doesn't, then too late, you're going to have to go find somebody with a fertilized present to stay, huh?
And the big thing is, you can't
and that's
jump
no
it.
Way, and that's no way to run a business, as Suge would run a business.
You can't.
But to work with, on an unpaid,
Now don't push her.
well, you don't have a contract with Cookie. And you just can't push it. Now, this is the difference between my relation to something like John, you see. I ran into this, I didn't realize it until last night. I ran into a lot of these things with John, but the relationship was a little different. We had a contract where I paid him for certain services, but it was those extra services that he stopped me on. There are, now, Thelma, I can say, Thelma, will you go and take Faye today and help her out? And she'll do it. She's just, she doesn't have this much, she's flexible. John wasn't. One day June Cooley got in trouble, and I said, John, run down there and freeze ice cream for Miss Cooley or something like that, and he wouldn't do it. I was using him, you know, I mean, it was the same kind of thing. He was not somebody to just be pushed around. He says, you tell me what to do in here, but you don't tell me what to do, even though that was my time and I was paying him for it.
In comparison to those two characters, Thelma and John, we're getting a little aside from this. There's a little difference in there. It goes back to your peasantry that you were talking about before. Thelma had, she might not be a good person to work for you all the time. She's used to working one day with you,
well,
one day
right.
with somebody
she's
else, one day
like
with
that.
Somebody else, mm-hmm. one day somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
So she's been trained that way, and so she thinks this situation
yeah.
going on with this. I'm guilty of jumping to simple solutions to problems pretty fast, but it seems to me that one of the ways of sizing this fellow up is just like his neighbor said. He's so generous with his time and
yeah.
his efforts that he promises too much to too many people, and he just can't deliver them all.
Yeah.
Well, can he not deliver them all, though? Because he's trading on some things that he hadn't got. But he can't afford to be caught short. Now, I don't know who called, I've forgotten who called up first about this fertilizer thing. But if you'd ask him, could you find me a fertilizer spreader, he wouldn't anymore say, no, I couldn't. He'd say, oh, I believe I can. I believe I know somebody's got something. You know, no matter what it was you ask him, he wouldn't be caught dead by saying, no, I can't. Well,
yeah.
they promise anything,
right.
you know. And
yeah.
then most
yeah.
of the time, if they make the initiative, they may have seen one in
yeah.
somebody's yard that they figured that they could trade out something to
yeah.
get that to come over to help you. This is a whole sort of unwinding that weaving that I know that they do. Cause
and it takes time.
It takes an awful lot of time, and they can't always deliver on the day that you think
yeah.
you're ready for.
Yeah.
So you wait.
Yeah.
If you can afford in your business.
Yeah.
To wait on. If you can't, don't deal with them like this.
Well,
if you've got to have that spread next week, then you better not depend on cooks. But if it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Then see you all can play this game, and you'll make a fun farm. You'll run
right.
your crop.
As a practical thing.
But as practical and being prudent or something.
He's got a lot that you need, and you've got a lot that he needs.
And this is what he gets the best of his children by doing this.
And I just hope that y'all can work it out that way. But I can see where those children would mean, it means so much to them, and I can see where it means a lot to him and his wife.
Is this opening a door for his children to be exposed to your farm and a good thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a good place to play, and it's a lot better than theirs.
Yeah.
And they're right on the highway, and it's so noisy they can't talk. And out here, you see, we don't even have that damn lawnmower.
Well, it's a
but
it's
you
a
did this
too when they moved to another place.
But you've done this everywhere you've ever gone.
Yeah.
You've traded your company and yourself for a little bit of a, in China with the doctor's family, in Kentucky with the Carries or Garys or whoever it was.
Hello? Call his his number at Micanopy. His number is at Micanopy. You can get it through information at Micanopy.
Well,
Micanopy.
Well, this all started.
I don't have a number in Micanopy.
But Micanopy, I can hear somebody on the other end of the line. You know, yeah. Micanopy is a Fern kind of a word.
I don't know why I wouldn't have it up there.
I don't either. This is the basis of the whole thing, is, and the touching part of the whole thing is Cookie's a desire for the best thing he can do with those children. On that little trip from Brazington's to the house, on the first time I ever saw Cookie, he said, "I've got 6 children." And he said, "Everything I do for those children." And he said, "And the reason we've got horses, I've got $2,000 invested in horses and equipment." And he said, "This is the best thing. I can keep them. Everything we do together."
That's right.
And he said, "I think this is, and if it's any company, they come to our house and they ride the horses." And he said, "I don't want my kids down at the corner drugstore." And he said, $2,000 is a lot for me to have in something, but it's cheap when I think about it. And this is what he told me, that it's the best thing for my kids.
Okay.
What do you say about Debbie, too?
Well, this is the kind of girl I want Laura to know. You know, he recognized a fine youngster.
But now you all, over the weekend, because of fertilizer, fear that you're going to miscue like you may have miscued with Johnny, and the whole thing will fall apart because you will be the cause of his losing face, or you'll put the B on him at the pressure him at the wrong time of
something. You see, that doesn't matter, but it's just a sign of what can.
But last night you were saying that if he gets too much in your debt, then he will put the pressure on you at some time to
reciprocate.
I don't know what that means.
And you came in last night by saying about the 4-H.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that's when I asked, "Well, why did this all start with the Plymouth?" And yes, you'd given him the Plymouth for services rendered, you know, but he's already overdrawn that. He's paid that out, you say. So he's building up maybe to being free to ask you something else.
Well, look, Francis, I don't think like that. I told Faye down there about the Plymouth. I said, "Faye, the old Plymouth's not worth anything."
Yeah.
And Cook is a magician. Just give it to him.
Right.
I didn't want to say
No. You
were getting rid of the liability.
Yeah.
But I didn't get rid of the thing.
Yeah, that's right. But he can't be, what's that word that they used? Beholden.
That's right.
How much you behold to each other, you know, and it kind of balances off.
What was it he said about the book? He looked at Cephas out there. And he came over to me. He has the most beautiful brown eyes, and he really does. They're just liquid. Came over to me, and he had this light in his eyes, and he says, "You know, I just can't wait to see Sarah take Cephas out there in a show and win a blue ribbon." And there's a poetic quality about him. You know, he could see this child, Sarah, had been the one that had been hurt or something, and was pretty dear to his heart, and he wanted to see that child. And that Cephas was the most beautiful thing he could see. And, you know, I didn't have the heart to say, "You know, Leo, we couldn't possibly make a steer out of Cephas. That's a fine bull. But lay in rain, you know."
Well, this brings me back to a family that I knew years ago back home. And it's funny, their name is almost the same. It's Cooksey.
Uh-huh.
And this fellow Cooksey was a mechanic. He was a carpenter. He could build anything at all. And he had a whole house full of children, 4 or 5 boys and 3 or 4 girls. And the girls, they went to the church, and they were a big part of the Sunday school and all like that. But they weren't as good a family, I don't believe, as this one here, in some ways.
Uh-huh.
The boys made good in most cases. One went down to Atlanta, Georgia, and he died a few years back, and did real well. I think he was in the selling business, maybe this liniment and stuff that they sell guy around, Watkins Remedy and stuff like that, and he became a great big guy in that kind of business. And
you know, that was really an enterprise.
It was an enterprise, a big one.
National Cash Register.
Yeah. the boys scattered all around that way. But he was one of those fellows that had a touch. It could do just anything that needed to be done around. And he stayed on the Chambers estate over there. And they had, about 900 acres, which is a lot of land in West Tennessee down in those creek bottoms at that time. And they kept him around for a long, long time because he was that type.
Hmm. Well, they are rare.
That's right. You don't find them often.
Once a man like Bradenton, the cook estate, that estate gets a hold of one, they don't want to let him go, do they?
That's right.
You see,
but you said now that he had not been there since last August, that he had changed jobs a lot of times because he was asked to do something below his dignity or something he didn't think he was against
that.
His code or something.
But
he walks off the job.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that made us look at this is that for all these years, guy's been trying to find somebody who had some kind of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Who would come out here and sort of help him or share the place with him. And we proposed to look straight at this to see if we could keep out of a pitfall and understand Cookie well enough not to let us, either one of us, get
in trouble.
And I guess it's the same sort of thing when you have these things that Werner does, trying to understand the head of a department and whether or not he's good. Just trying to understand the individual.
Would be this a good bet?
Yeah. It would be so easy. Just take that whole family under your wings and I move them out here and still it wouldn't work at all.
Wouldn't work at all.
But it would be so easy to get right into
really
that trap.
It really would.
Yeah.
So you've got
like those cats.
Yeah.
I see these little wrens around here. I'd rather have the wrens than the cats.
Yeah.
But see, they won't have cats with six children.
Mm-hmm.
Bound them. Some of those children going to have a cat.
Well,
gotta have a kitten.
Cats and dogs, too.
Gotta have a kitten.
Got five right now.
Now, just have a lot of children to play with, that's not enough for them, they.
Well, nearly all children have had cats and dogs. That was just normal.
So you've got to keep this thing, you've got to keep it level, you've got to keep it objective, and you can't let your emotions take over. As I told you, I just like to take gather little old Alice up and adopt her.
We got the same problem here with this little Faye that we've been talking about, and those three little boys.
Well, we're trying to help the mother save her face and keep her dignity.
Well, I'm also interested in those boys that they have a chance through the YMCA and inspiration that being with bigger people that come out of the community they're in. And that's the great thing about America. You can do that.
And you see, our relation with the cookies, because we're thinking, just right out here. And they've got to swing themselves. We don't want to enter that world of theirs, their social world. I don't want Laura to know how to ride English. Not a one of those children can ride a horse in the horse riding language. They don't know one lead from the other. I'm not about to tell them.
When you don't want to change the attitude.
No, they can stick on a horse, and that's all they need to do. And they barrel race, and they're not going to run my horses. But they run theirs to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they won't run yours if you don't.
No, they
they're
won't.
Nice.
They're nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice children.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they're not going to run these horses. But so you see, you got to be careful about the world that you propose.
But you were making a parallel last night between Johnny and Cookie, and I'm not sure that I understand that, because Cookie seems, so honorable. You haven't brought out this morning enough of this trait, which I was interested in last night. Couldn't believe that Cookie was sitting down there working on a car all day, dreaming up how he's going to trade a little more, you all a little bit more. Use you. I was, last night, as you said, I was a little doubtful and almost belligerent because I thought you weren't reading Cookie right. He could be very honest and not put you on the point. at any one time and sort of demand, I've done this for you, you do this back for me. But you really feel that underneath he is the traitor. Johnny was the traitor. Well, how did you get mixed up with Johnny and in the trading end of it and lose your face? I lost his face? What was his point last night you all were making?
Oh, Johnny. You see, Johnny had been away from home for 2 or 3 years, and he was out of pocket. He was going to see it. So he dropped in over here one day, and his parents over there, and just to sleep up and feed up a while. And of course, he always looks around the countryside, possible customers, and he dropped in over here. And he saw all this promising territory. With Johnny, though, it was to start with, I shouldn't be talking about this, it's very simple. He needed some tobacco money and some gasoline money.
Yeah, he didn't want a wage, a salary particularly, pinned down to a particular job. He just needed cash.
Yeah. Now, you see, we bought a horse from him.
Oh, that's right.
And he traded nickel off for him, so he made...
He got a little gas money there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That suited me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he did it. That
mm-hmm.
service ended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a little story right in there that shows you how he. I don't parallel Cookie with Johnny because Cookie is a family man. He has honorable intentions, and I don't think he sits down and thinks out, now how much can I use this person for? I think it's the traitor instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is all that. Now, Johnny was calculating, but he still was a marvelous traitor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, still, instinct was a traitor.
Mm-hmm. I guess, honey, about 2 years ago, maybe, when Johnny was here, not here, but we saw him somewhere, and we said, well, you know, we've got a horse torn by Dinkle. I mean, if you know anybody who wants him. And so when Johnny came up here, his little entering wedge was, I might have somebody mm-hmm. that would be interested in Dinkle. Well, it took him all summer.
Oh, it took him all mm-hmm. a long time.
But he finally mm-hmm. made the deal and took Dinkle and...
Well, that's another case, Ray. Francis, he can't time it.
No. Well, here you are.
Here you are.
He's got to wait his time.
Here you are.
Well, the trader can't really,
no.
can he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he can't say he doesn't know it. This is his way. He can't say he doesn't.
He's got to hold out hope.
Right.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be interested.
Right. Yeah, he drags it out.
But
now, what he did about Dinkle and Molly, he traded and we paid, in addition to Dinkle, I forget what we paid him. And he came out pretty well on that. And I said, Johnny, I hope you made some money. And he said, well, I ain't hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all right. Well,
Johnny would never come clean on what he'd done.
Oh, no.
Johnny, what's his name? Johnny Ross. He was the most honest fellow I ever saw in my life.
He didn't want to be honest, but it always came out.
He never held anything back. He'd tell you exactly how much he did.
If you just waited long enough, he'd have come out. But Johnny Sims...
Well, you see, we lost out with Johnny Ross. We started fine, and that's what the danger was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But with Johnny Sims, Molly had this... got this little limp. They took her out and he and Sally rode the heck out mm-hmm. of her and just about ruined her. Johnny said, and she came up with a limp, and I said, Johnny, what's all this? And he said, well, I tell you, I don't know, I'll have to think about it. So about a week later, he came over here very serious, and he said, you know, she, I'm afraid she could have, and he mentioned some dread thing in the bone. And he said, now I can't be sure, and you can have a vet checker, but I'll tell you what, I believe I'd get rid of her. And he said, and then about the next week or two, while he came around, and he said, now I've got somebody that'll take her off your hands and use her for a broodmare. And the price he mentioned was $100 less than what we had in mind.
$200.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he give you $200 back for her?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and we had over 300. And he said, but he didn't press you. He just said, now, you know, you can just take it, leave it. He'd never make you feel as if this was real important for you to do it. He said, you think it over, and I'm not sure about that leg, but she'd make a mighty good broodmare.
And I said, well, you know, I play along with him. I said, now, Johnny, I have to depend upon what you think. You really think this ought to be? Well, he said, you know, you couldn't go wrong on that. Well, of course, we didn't do it, and in a few weeks, Molly cleared up and won anything except they just run it and everything. But he saw a chance to make $100.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know whether it was in the, and it couldn't, it wasn't in the back of his mind when he traded the dimple in the first place, but you see, when he saw the chance that he could trade, mm-hmm. this was a trader coming out. And he might have really thought there was something wrong with the leg, but you have a feeling.
This is the end of one cartridge. This is the end of one cartridge, and there's a gap in the subject now before the next one starts. This is the end of one cartridge. This is Talk Tuesday Morning. This is a talk Tuesday morning about Cookie and Johnny and all of them.
If you didn't expect him,
yes.
anything out of it, right?
Yes, that was your big hunch,
baby. That's
This is what you realize that you might have to be sure that you keep on your mind with Cookie.
Right.
You don't pin him down because he's not on a wage. He's not loyal.
Right.
If this is the volunteer.
Right. And if we get in the position where we can say where we feel inside, all right, if you don't do this, we
don't come in
and fire you.
Mm-hmm.
Then the game's over. Or if we start feeling resentful.
Now this is
a big thing you've got to watch.
Really does. It can, because it can set you off. One day they'll come and do something that irritates the hell out of you.
Well, for instance, you see.
This is the end of it. This is the way it is, and then you'll begin to say, "I'm put upon.
Uh-huh.
I feel put upon."
And it'll come out.
And it can work on both sides. He can say, I've come out here and cleaned up your damn fields and got your tractor running, and you won't give me that little calf out there that's 3 months old and you couldn't sell for $50. That would make my child maybe the difference in the whole her whole life.
Right.
Why, hell, I don't want to fool with you. I mean, but this is there's no loyalty except the underneath. Understanding between, and this is what you don't want to get off.
I think
off
you're selling him a little short because I think he's interested in those children.
Well, this is where since you don't have any name of loyalty, our friend.
We'll check it to him. Go ahead.
I just think that he would sacrifice a little bit extra. He would overlook some of these things if he felt that he was put upon to a certain extent because he thought that the children would still.
Well, probably
they got more in the long run if they
still play
kept the relationship.
Got,
whether they got the calf or not.
Yeah, but that's right. I may for a long time.
It's that type of thing.
Yeah.
This is the same type of thing that would make him walk off of a job.
That's the thing you've got to.
If you push it too far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it takes much for him to walk off, Francis.
He's a traitor.
Quick judgment fellow, huh?
Can't stand Negroes. And there were two, he is head of that whatever department it is from the mechanics down there, and he had several Negroes working on him.
Wash the cars.
And clean them up, you know. And the other day, he asked one of the Negro helpers to do something, and the Negro didn't do it, so he said, well, you go get your hat and leave. And he told us, he said, I'm not going to have any of that stuff around me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is...
Well, now, he might have had a pretty good point there. Well, he had four or five others working, and if he let one go away, they're not saying, I won't do this and won't do that. The others say, well, we get away with the same thing.
Yeah, he could have.
You've got to have discipline if you're going to have people work under you.
And he works.
He's got discipline in his family. It's not discipline, but it's order.
Well, that's order. That's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's got to have order in his business the same way.
I think one of the most...
However, you may have an undue pressure to start with.
It reminds me. I think one of the most revealing things and encouraging things about him is when he says, I've been a-thinking. And in the first 2 months we knew him, he'd talk to me because I was the first one that he knew. And he'd talk to me and he'd said, I've been a-thinking. Now, if you can find out what Mr. Miles wants, I mean, if he'll tell you what he wants me to do, I'll do it. And I said, well, I don't know, because you talk to him. And that was when he thought he had to check through me. And then he said, I tell you now, you guys and us. The only thing is, my kids get hungry, and we've got to have a little place where that they'll feel free. He talked about a little, putting up a little shed where they just would be there to come and put their picnics in, and so they wouldn't. He said, "We don't want to bother you guys. When we come out here, we know you're busy." And in other words, he could see that too much of just being under each other's feet wasn't going to be good. And I appreciated that.
I'll tell you a little project you might get him into. That's to open up the food down there, a little passageway so he can get into it.
They've already started.
That's probably the head.
What?
A passageway into the lake through those hyacinths.
From one side of the pond.
Well, just so you can get out into the middle of the water.
Helen said that was one of their projects, but hers and the children. She said they'd wait out there and pull up those things.
Well, you're going to have to use something to keep them from crowding in again. You can put a few logs there to keep that
down. Let me tell you, that sort of thing, what it works out is it's project always resolve itself into not for the children, it's for Cookie.
I see, that's where it
and
comes
he's got a grown boy, or at least in school, 16 maybe, and he's handy, he's learned how to work, but he can't work by himself, so it's still on Cookie. Now, that's what happened when we were talking out here. He had been talking to me, and Cookie was trying to get into the candle business. But the way most of the fellas like that want to get in the cattle business is to take care of my cattle. And I had made up my mind a long time ago I didn't want more cattle. I just have a few. But he couldn't manage a few himself. So we were still talking off and on. And it worked out. And we're in the hay business now. We're going to raise hay. And that's what we're going to do with this fertilizer. You're going to grow hay over here on that that bahia. That way it doesn't cost anything. Cost it out.
Now, what I did, I wanted to ask this last night. You said that Shook said, "Well, did you call him after you got, you know, did you call him? Yeah, we called him and all this sort of thing." Now, it was his proposition.
Yeah.
He called
first. Why did you feel like that you had to call him and say, "Why didn't you come? Or are you going to come?" Or this sort of thing?
Well, that's easy to answer, I think. They found out enough about him already to know that he's a pretty easy promiser.
If they found out this much, then they found out that it's not going to do any good to put him on the spot. Just ruins him.
Well, it wasn't actually a spot because the telephone had been ringing.
And it could have been
him.
And
we had come in and missed it twice.
He's been right good about doing the checking.
Uh-huh.
He's done it all.
Uh-huh.
And we're just checking.
Yeah. Well,
and so guy called and said the telephone had been ringing. We were afraid it was you. We just wanted you to know we were here. And then.
Well, now, Francis, you know, we are setting this out, but it's you know, you can say all you want to on this in 10 minutes. This is what they get into. Like Sue says, they promised so many people. Cookie was going to come over here and work on this. What he actually did was broke down an old automobile over there. And they worked Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning on that. And then somebody with a big family called on business, and they couldn't just walk off and leave, you see. So.
Sure.
Is long, is not a little.
But you really don't know whether he's got a fairly spreader or not. You really don't know whether he's got a fairly spreader or not.
We still don't know whether he is.
But we do know he's got a ton and a half of fur.
And you're not really sure.
No, you're not sure. No.
Well, I mean,
not if you're working with cooking.
I mean,
with
it's
got to be spread
it's
for too long
before
it'll get hard.
But now he knows this.
That's right.
He knows this. And you're wondering how far you can't wait.
Well, you see, one of the things that fell apart was a fur cord. I say fell apart. Is that we made the great mistake of saying, look, this, you can have this.
Yeah,
if they'd had a little money out there in this thing,
right,
it would have made the difference. Your own good will sometimes defeats the whole thing.
We got that same proposition with our everybody that works in our office. We don't care whether it's a girl or a boy. We will pay half on any education that they want to, that they think will help them in that. They've taken everything from speed reading to management and insurance courses and Dale Carnegie courses and things like that. But unless they're willing to pay half, we're not interested.
Right. Yeah. That's the fun.
And it works.
But so this may not work with Cookie.
But he's got to have a little money somewhere along the line in this thing.
Yeah.
Well, his work is money, though.
Yeah, it's got to be a little something more tangible than that.
This is where you would put it, kind of almost down in writing.
Yes.
But you see, you're not sure that you're going to be the instigator because it kind of came from Cookie on the other side anyway.
It's just like that car when I took that bill of sale down. Mm-hmm. That little legal thing just didn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got a whole segment of the world that operates like this.
It's different here. I know that. So different when you're dealing with people like him. But ours, we have to have contracts all the time. We write up contracts and rewrite them and rewrite them till we get them down to where they work.
You couldn't run a business unless you did.
Yeah.
And Don is an expert at it.
Mm-hmm. But you're working with a volunteer.
That's right.
And yet it can be beneficial for both of them if you don't allow each one of them to lose the effect.
Well, ours is a partnership deal all the way through on everything, profit participating. But that's different. They're employees. These people are not your employees at all.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole raft of people just like Cookie.
Yeah.
And they're not going
to
attend them.
Freddie wants to operate this place.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make any proposal, you see. And up there on this front pasture, he finally got around to renting that for melons. And melons come off, you see, the end of June. Down here, that's all the rule of thumb is, the last shipment is reach the market by the 4th of July. And that's even late. Usually they could run out before then, or at least the market does. They buy Georgia melons, plantations, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wants to follow the melons with Alice Clover. I said, Freddie, what you need up there is some coastal Bermuda. Now, coastal gets 4 or 5 crops this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
he says,
if you want to put that in up there, we might help you do it. I said, I don't want it, Freddie. What in the hell would I do with 5 crops of coastal Bermuda? I don't have the animals to feed. And but he can't see putting in coastal Bermuda on my land. It might cost him $20 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much the $20 a land, it's the trading side of it.
He feels like you're getting the best end of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we and he can also put in the coastal and put in that Alice Clover at the same time. The coastal has to be sprigged in.
Yeah.
Or at least harrowed in.
Mm-hmm.
And the other seed. And you still get the Alice Clover. So that's holding fire. Cookie, then it's been the same thing, you see. And you got no indication that either one of them come through.
Mm-hmm.
So what they want is somebody to hold the bag, you see. What was it? Who was it last night? I mentioned Francis. Will Caton needs Bud Little. Bud Little run the spoke factory. And all those, he didn't run it, you see, wasn't a 12-month job, but at least it was subsistence thing. And he held the bag. He kept it all, kept them all going, including the logging crews. Well, you just have to have that.
That's right.
In the community.
Somebody do the thinking.
Cookie said that he had enough children to spread that. And that's was a thing that he could do. He said, you know, I can put those kids out there sprigging that thing, and in just no time at all, they'll have that thing sprigged, and they'll be sprigged right, too.
But you see, you don't want the children out there. All you do is just scatter it. You run over the truck, and just somebody sits on the back end and scatters it, one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run over with a harrow. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to run over to the children there.
He step there and hauls on and arrange one day in their head. And then what are you going to do them? No,
well,
well,
well, that Bermuda will stay there, and once you put it in there, you want it.
Yes. And another thing that Freddy stalls on, every time you cut it, you fertilize it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can just get your shed full of the stuff. I'm telling you, you have to build more sheds.
And it's good hay, huh?
Oh, it's marvelous. Yeah, cut it fast.
My guy, thinking about it from your angle, would you get a percentage of the Bermuda? Work out a deal of that kind?
You know, I'd get a percentage, but I don't want the Bermuda. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm tired of it. I want to do something else.
Well, you're going to keep a few cattle.
Yes, but I don't want to get my mind on that.
I see.
Take it back from the whatchamacallit.
I've had enough of that, and there's no percentage in it.
This is Inner Channel 1. Right, Channel 1 Right, the end of Channel 1 Right on Tuesday morning, the 25th of March, 1969, during our talk about Cookie and those others, about Cookie and the others, Tuesday morning after breakfast on the 25th of March, 1969.